though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoy thee, that which in which is convenient, yet I rather beseech thee, being such and one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Let's skip down to verse 18, and says, If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I Paul have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Verse 20, it says, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Let's pray this evening, and we'll continue with this message. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for your scriptures. Thank you, Father, for this time that we're able to worship you, Father, and be able to sing songs of praise to you, Father. And Lord, I ask that you would just go before me this evening, Lord, and fill me with your Holy Spirit power, Lord. I pray that you would just fill this room with your Spirit, Father. I can't do anything without you, Father, Lord. I pray that you would just help us to learn something from your word this evening. In your name, amen. I want you to look at this verse 20. It says at the end of this verse, it says, refresh my bowels in the Lord. Now, the title of my message this evening might be a little different, but the title is literally from the Bible, and it's refresh my bowels in the Lord. Refresh my bowels. The Greek word of the word bowels is, now, I'm going to say this wrong. I know I speak Spanish, but I won't be able to say it in Greek. I took 2 years of Greek, but I won't be able to say it. Splanchna, meaning inner affection, tender mercies, deep feeling. The Bible says in verse 20, it says, refresh my bowels in the Lord. Paul was saying to Philemon, you have refreshed and encouraged the hearts of other believers. We see that in verse 7. Now refresh my heart by receiving Onesimus. So refresh my bowels in the Lord literally means refresh my heart, encourage my spirit, give me joy and comfort, relieve my burden in Christ. Paul is asking Philemon to forgive and receive Onesimus. Onesimus did him wrong before. He was in prison. He got saved. Paul was an instrument in his life, and he was saying to Philemon to forgive and to receive Onesimus, and by doing that, Paul's heart would be refreshed. Philemon refreshed the saints in verse 7. And Paul asked him to refresh the servant of God in verse 20. Believers should refresh one another spiritually. Amen. Now, how can a Christian refresh one another? First of all, we must have Christ-like unity. Christ-like unity. The Bible says in Philippians 2. Philippians 2, turn with me. Philippians 2, starting in verse 1. Philippians 2, verse 1 and 2, we'll read. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, verse 2, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. To me, Paul is not questioning whether these things exist. He is saying, since these things are true, in verse 1. He is building a case in verse 1 before he gives the command in verse 2 about unity. Paul gives four motivations. We see in the start of verse 1, the phrase consolation in Christ. Since Christ has encouraged and comforted us, we have salvation, amen? We have peace and hope in him. We also see the phrase comfort of love. Since we have experienced God's love, we ought to show the same type of love to others. We see that phrase in verse 1, fellowship of the Spirit. Since we share the same Holy Spirit, we should walk together, not divided. We see that phrase, bowels and mercies. Since we have inward compassion from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, tender affection, we should treat people with grace and kindness. These verses remind me that doctrine, and should remind us all, that doctrine should produce unity, and unity should be fueled by compassion. Paul is basically saying, because Christ has done so much for you, live in love with one another. Amen. We see that how can we refresh the other Christians in our church? Christ-like unity. Number two, Christ-like humility. We see in Philippians 2, where we were before, we read verses 1 and 2. We see verses 3. We see verses 3 through 8. It talks about how we can have Christ-like humility. Starting in verse 3, we see that we must first reject selfishness. What does it say in Philippians? Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. We see that Christian humility is not self-promotion. We see the word strife. Strife is selfish ambition, rivalry. We see the word vainglory, empty pride. Humility says others are more important than me. And pride says I am more important than others. We see in 1 Peter 5:5, a portion of that verse says, be clothed with humility. We see also in verse 4, Philippians 2, verse 4, it talks about regard others. We see here in verse 4, it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Paul is not saying ignore your responsibilities. He's teaching concern for others. Humility asks, how can I help? How can I make something better? How can I encourage? How can I serve in the local church? Christians, we must have humility. Also, we see in this in verse 5, it says receive Christ's mind. Verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Christian humility begins in the mind before it appears in our actions. We also see in verse 6 and 7, we must resemble Christ's service. Verse 6 and 7 says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus was fully God. He lowered himself and became a servant for us. He did not lose his deity. He laid himself aside. He laid aside his privileges and came as a servant. We must resemble Christ's service. And we see also in verse 8, we see that he remained obedient. In verse 8 it says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We see the greatest picture of humility is obedience. Christ went from heaven to being a servant, to suffering, to dying on the cross. In every step, he showed pure humility. Christ, how can we refresh the saints? How can we refresh the church? Christ-like unity, Christ-like humility. Thirdly, Christ-like forgiveness. Colossians 3, turn with me, Colossians 3. Colossians 3, starting in verse 12. Say amen if you have it. Colossians 3, starting in verse 12, it says, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Forgiveness is important for all Christians. Now, how do we get to that point of forgiveness? Number one, we see in verse 12, we see the compassion comes from forgiveness. Compassion comes before forgiveness. We see the word bowels of mercy. Bowels of mercy is deep compassion, tender heartedness. Paul started with the heart before the action. A saint who has compassion is more ready to forgive. Paul wanted Philemon to receive and forgive Onesimus. And the inward affection that we see in verse 7 of Philemon, the inward affection for the saints produced outward forgiveness. We also see in verse 13, saints must bear with each other, forbearing one another. Forbearing one another means putting up with their weaknesses, enduring faults, showing patience. Also, we see in verse 13, Christ is the standard of forgiveness. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. The reason saints forgive or should forgive is not because the offender deserves it, but because Christ forgave us. Amen? The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, "Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You know, many years ago, about 13 years ago, I went through a hard time in my life. And someone in my family committed a sin, and it hurt me deeply. Deeply. To the point I was 17 years old and I just wanted to run away. I wanted to run away and give up on God, give up on everything. But I'm grateful for a man in my church that saw me. I ran and I went to a McDonald's and was just writing down all the things that I wanted to do other than, you know, be in my home situation. This man came up to me and started praying with me. And praise the Lord, that man helped me to get back right on the right path. And praise the Lord, I went to college. I married my wife. I went on deputation. I went to learn the language. Went to Panama. And during this whole time, I thought I forgave this individual. I thought I did. But I would always think bad about this person. Always. Until just recently, I came back and just 2 months ago, I went up to this individual. And I shook his hand. I held his hand for the first time in 11 years. I looked at him and I said, "I forgive you." You know, I didn't realize that I still had bitterness in my heart. Christians, how many years do we have bitterness in our heart, even though we say, "I forgive you," but it's just, and you still always think about it. Christians, it's so important. If you want to have unity in your family, if you want to have unity in your church, you have to get rid of those bitternesses in your life. You know, the moment I said, I forgive you, I had so much peace in my heart. And that's only 2 months ago. How much more could God have used my life if I would have just forgiven this person at the first part of when it happened? Christians, it's so important to forgive. Why? Because He forgave us. You know, I had to have tender mercy toward this individual. I had to endure his faults. And I had to forgive him because Christ forgave me. I don't deserve forgiveness. And that alone should allow you to forgive anybody their faults. Why is it important, Christians, to refresh the saints? Because a refreshed saint becomes a stronger saint. A refreshed church becomes a stronger church. This is founded on the example of Christ: unity, humility, and forgiveness. Paul asked Philemon, forgive Onesimus. Forgive. Use the same amount of tenderheartedness that you gave toward the brethren. Use it for Onesimus. And Christians, I'm no Paul, but I want to encourage you. Refresh the saints. Refresh the saints. Have unity. Have humility. And when you have those two things, you will be able to have forgiveness. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father, for this message. Lord, I needed it just as much as the people here did, Father. Lord, I pray that you would just use this message, Lord, to those that are struggling with forgiveness, Lord. I pray that you would just help them, Father, to just let it go. It's much better to let it go and forgive. It's much better to have peace than to have bitterness, Father. Lord, I pray that you would help us to edify the saints. Help us to refresh the saints, Father. Help us to have unity in the church, have humility, and have forgiveness, Father. In your name, Bridget.